Children ages, well, children. There's Mrs. Allison. You can go to Children's Church. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. I need the energy. I got moved into my house yesterday. Today I'll get sheets on my bed. I slept in my Lazy Boy last night. There are worse places to sleep, so, you know, it's all good. I missed you all last week. I had the flu, so you didn't want me here anyways. Years ago, I was preaching one Sunday, and I noticed this elderly woman twice during my sermon dart out the back. I'm like, what's going on? Is it really that bad, the preaching and everything? And after church, shaking hands, and she comes up to me, she shakes my hand, and she shakes my hand. I notice she's sweating profusely, and she coughs, and she goes, I'm sorry, I didn't want to miss today, but I have the flu. I'm like, uh-oh. And sure enough, a week later, I had the flu. So you didn't want me here anyways last week, but it's all good now. So this morning, my message is going to be on the parable of the sowing seed in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And I should get this clicker because I will need it. So Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And I'm calling this message, The Secrets of God's Kingdom. Because it's really not about so much about whether we're sowing seed, but whether the seed sown in us is sown in good soil or bad soil. Let's read, or let's pray, and then let's read this text. Father God, as we are in your presence this morning, we're thankful that you've given us life in Jesus Christ. Made us alive even though we were dead in our sins and transgressions. You have given us life by your grace. You've filled us with your Spirit so that we could live out our lives as a reflection of your Son Jesus, through whom we're saved. And God, as we open your word this morning, we pray as we always do that you would open our eyes and ears, that we might see and hear the life you're calling us to live in Jesus. And Father God, I pray you will pour upon me again the gift of preaching from your Spirit so that your word can be preached with grace and with truth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, Luke chapter 8. We'll start verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in times of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's a prayer. Many of us have prayed many times. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's the Lord's Prayer. Prayer, we probably ought to pray every day. After all, when Jesus is asked by his disciples about how do you pray, he says, when you pray, pray like this. Maybe we ought to just take Jesus seriously and pray like this. At least, it doesn't mean we can't pray other prayers, but at least pray this prayer once a day, because it's really important. Not just for addressing our needs to God, but also for our formation as disciples of Jesus. There's a line in this prayer about God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I'm asked, what is the kingdom of God, I always begin with this line. Because whatever we say about the kingdom, it has to have something to do with God's will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus prays when he prays, your kingdom come. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what more could we want than for God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven? God's will done in your life as it is in heaven. God's will done in my life as it is in heaven. God's will done in Milwaukee as it is in heaven. God's will done in the Southside Church as it is in heaven. Everything would be right as it's supposed to be when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. But praying for the kingdom of God, the coming of God's kingdom like this, begs the question then of how does the kingdom come? Well, how is God's will going to be done on earth as it is in heaven? And so maybe who better to learn from than Jesus about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom comes. After all, Jesus is calling people to repentance as he proclaims the arrival of God's kingdom. That's how he began his ministry in the Galilean region. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God has appeared among you. And then he calls people to follow him. Among the synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is mentioned 91 times. 32 times right here in the Gospel of Luke. Because Jesus has had a knack for talking about God's kingdom. In fact, at the beginning of Luke chapter 8, Jesus is going from town to town, and this is what he's doing. Text tells us that he's proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, or proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Remember that, because whatever the gospel or the good news is, it involves the kingdom of God, God's reign, God's rule. See, if you have a kingdom, for there to be a kingdom, there has to be a king. And what does a king do? A king rules. A king reigns over people in a place. The kingdom of God has to do with God's rule. And therefore, God's will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. So if we're inclined to know how the kingdom comes, then Jesus has something he wants to teach us about that. In fact, I would suggest that Jesus' teaching ministry is really teaching us about how to participate as people living as participants of God's kingdom, so that God's kingdom will flourish, not any other kingdom. One of Jesus' preferred ways of teaching is a parable. Parable is just a little story or saying that illustrates a truth. It illustrates something that's true about life. In this case, Jesus tells a parable about sowing seed. It's a farmer who goes out and lavishly sows his seed. I mean, this is just a kind of almost recklessly. The farmer's just throwing seed wherever he can throw it. And some of that seed falls on good soil, but not all of the seed falls on good soil. In fact, you might say much of the seed doesn't fall on good soil. Instead, the seed falls on bad soil, along a walking path, or among rocks and thorns. And then after Jesus finishes telling this parable, he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. This is why I pray, God, open our eyes and ears to see and hear. Because we can have eyes and ears and be completely blind and deaf to Jesus. Whoever has ears, let them hear. In other words, listen up and pay attention. Because if we want to know how the kingdom of God, then pay attention to what Jesus is about to say. Because Jesus is about to reveal to us what he calls the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom. So in verse 10, Jesus says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. And Jesus here is quoting from the prophet Isaiah, just to make the point that some people need to have this parable interpreted for them if they are going to understand. Apparently the disciples too, because they asked Jesus what the parable means. It's speaking then, Jesus says, the seed is the word of God. It's the message that Jesus has proclaimed. The sown seed is the word of God, the word that Jesus is proclaiming about the good news of God's kingdom. And it's a message that always comes with an invitation for us to believe this good news, for us to repent. That is, to turn and submit our lives to Jesus so that we can follow Jesus as participants in God's kingdom. But not everyone will do that. Not everyone wants to do that. For some, the seed just never takes root. Maybe the devil snatches it away. Maybe the challenge of following Jesus is just too difficult. And when tested, it's just easier to give up on Jesus than to keep following Jesus. Or it could be that there's just more concern for things of this world than there are for God's kingdom. And so the seed never matures because the person in whom the seed is sown is always worried about things that have nothing to do with God's kingdom rather than God's kingdom. Now, the silver lining is that some are going to hear. Some are going to hear the word of God, and it will be like planting seed in good soil because it will produce a crop. But did you notice what Jesus said when he interprets this parable? When Jesus told the parable, he said that the crop would produce 100 times. But now in explaining the parable, Jesus does not say one word about the crop producing 100 times. Instead, Jesus says the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Jesus, I suggest, is talking about how we live, which has everything to do with our faithfulness in following Jesus, even when it seems difficult to do so. Our faithfulness in following Jesus is the secret to the kingdom of God. Kingdom comes among us as we follow Jesus, as we are faithful in following Jesus. That's all that is necessary for the kingdom of God to come. It's Jesus submitting to his Father's will, and us as followers of Jesus submitting to that same will revealed to us by Jesus. Jesus doesn't say one word about stifling the power of the devil, right? The devil snatches, but Jesus doesn't say, hey, just go out and be worried about trying to get rid of the devil. Doesn't say one word about doing that. Jesus says nothing about stifling any threats of persecution. Persecution's never good. It seems like it'd be really good if we could eliminate whatever threats there are. But Jesus doesn't say anything about eliminating those threats or eliminating any of those concerns with the problems of this world. All Jesus says is that the seed planted in good soil are those with a noble and good heart, the ones who will produce a crop because they hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. Not by trying to eliminate the power of the devil, not trying to eliminate whatever threats or worries there are, but by persevering in hearing the word of God in living that out. They produce a crop. Seems kind of strange. We might wonder how the kingdom is possible. How can the kingdom come when there's all this evil out there? When there are all these troubles in the world, right? There are a lot of troubles in the world, right? I don't know any one of us that's going to raise our hand and say, this world is trouble-free. That there isn't evil out there. That there aren't great things to be concerned about what's going on in the world. We may wonder how it's possible for the kingdom of God to come with all of these evils, troubles, and concerns. And please hear me on this. There are certain voices right in our world today that are telling us that we just need more laws that favor Christianity in America. Or some sort of Christian coalition to restore Christian values, and then everything will be all right. It's easy then to forget that Jesus was offered the power of having all the kingdoms of this world under his power. He just had to serve that force that is adversarial to the kingdom of God that we call Satan or the devil. And yet there are voices right here in our world today telling us that we just need, instead of hearing the word and retaining in person, we need to busy ourselves with trying to fashion laws that could make it more conducive for us to be Christians. Form coalitions as though if by government rule we can make Christianity flourish. And yet Jesus refused such an offer. When Jesus was offered all the kingdom power of the world, he refused such an offer because he knows that the kingdom of God only comes through faithfulness to God. By going out and living the Father's will, even as difficult as it will be. And let's not forget that we're getting ahead of ourselves, but in the garden, Jesus will beg his Father for some other way than the cross, but then say to his Father, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus knows that the kingdom of God only comes through faithfulness to God, through hearing the word of God that summons him and us as his followers to the cross. If we want to see the kingdom of God continue to flourish right here in Milwaukee, all we need to do is hear the word of God that Jesus proclaims. Hear that word, retain it, and persevere in living that word out. Because his word is an invitation to come learn how to live the good news of God's kingdom. Learn how to reflect the good news of God's kingdom right here in Milwaukee amidst all of the evils, all of the troubles, and all of the concerns, elements that existed in the first century just as much as they exist today. We're not living in any more difficult of a world than Jesus entered ministry into. Last year, I finally read the book, God is Red, by Leal Yuval. The book is about Christianity in the country of China. Jesuit missionaries first introduced the Christian faith to the Chinese people in the 7th century. During the 19th century, in the early part of the 20th century, many more missionaries started going to China. and the Christian faith really began to blossom. But then in 1949, the communist revolution led by Mao Zedong took place, and Christianity became illegal. Missionaries were expelled from China, and the Chinese Christians were told to either renounce their Christian faith as a stupid opiate or face consequences. Consequences that included imprisonment and sometimes even execution. And yet the new communist revolution, the new communist regime, was not able to eliminate Christianity from China, which continues to flourish to this day. And so Liao Yuo's book chronicles how Christianity survived and flourished while facing so much persecution and so much trouble in communist China. Wait, I thought they needed a Christian nation to flourish. No. They just needed to go out and live faithfully according to God's word. How did Christianity continue to flourish in China? The secret is this. The believers continued following Jesus. The believers continued following Jesus. No matter what threats the Chinese government made, believers said, no, Jesus is our king. He's the one we serve, and we will continue doing that. Yeah, there were some who renounced their faith, but other Christians in China had the eyes and ears to see and hear. And in seeing and hearing, it meant that they continued faithfully following Jesus. There were Christians that even without a copy of the Bible, retained God's word, because you know what they did? They memorized the entire Bible. A feat that just confounds my ability. How do you do that? Well, apparently if you're committed enough to following Jesus, and you know that people are trying to take from you God's word, you put it here in your memory because they can't take your memory from you. No ballots and no bullets were necessary because they never have been necessary for the kingdom of God to flourish. The kingdom of God simply comes by hearing God's word, seeing how it's lived out in Jesus, how Jesus teaches us to live that out, and going and doing it with courage, compassion, and conviction. So, church, if we're going to hear the word of God that summons us to follow Jesus, we ought to pay attention to who we're listening to. First of all, I hope we're listening to God's voice in Scripture. Jim, thank you for reminding us again about reading the Bible. I don't know how we're ever going to discern how to follow Jesus if we're not reading the Bible regularly. I mean, there are so many other things competing for our attention. Regular reading the Bible. But beyond Scripture, we can learn a lot from paying attention to our fellow Christian brothers and sisters around the world. How they're learning to follow Jesus. In circumstances, sometimes they're similar to ours, and sometimes they're very different than ours, sometimes much more difficult than ours. But paying attention to how Christians around the world are learning to follow Jesus, especially those who are living in difficult circumstances such as that of China. And this is also why I'm thankful for the message that Kevin shared last week, reminding us about how some Christians in Albania are living out the good news of God's kingdom. You know, missionaries will tell you sometimes we in America can think we know best. I think we just have to teach other people how to do. I mean, that's rather, that takes a lot of hubris. We might do well to say, you know, there's some Christians in some other countries that could teach us a lot. But we ought to be more discerning about the voices that are clamoring for our attention every day. You call me cynical if you want, and call me skeptical if you like, but politicians want our votes. And the talking heads in the media need our attention to keep the sponsors paying the checks, writing the checks. They will say what we want them to say in order to keep us coming back, listening to them. Jesus will not say what we want him to say. Jesus will say what we need him to say. And there is a difference. I've always, now I'm off the rails here. But, and this is the Gospel of John, though. In the Gospel of John, John makes the point that Jesus tells us the truth, and he lays his life down for us. In the Greco-Roman society, the two classic hallmarks of a good friend was a friend who will tell you the truth, and a friend that will lay his life down for you. And I've always said, you know, we all need a few friends who will have the courage to tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. We can all find yes people around us just to say whatever we want to hear, and, you know, you just easily follow those yes people off the cliff together. The voices in the media, the politicians, they will say what we want them to hear because they need our votes. And they need us to keep watching whatever media source it is so that the sponsors will keep writing the checks. Jesus will not say what we want him to say. Jesus will say what we need him to say. Tell us the truth when it's convenient and inconvenient, whether we like it or not. And the question really comes down to this: will we listen to Jesus? Or will we say no? And if I'm being quite honest with you, sometimes today I look at what's going on here in America and I think there are a lot of Christians who are starting to say, nope, Jesus, I'd rather listen to someone else. And that probably has something to do with why Christianity seems to be declining here in America. Because it's got nothing to do with whether we have laws that favor Christianity or not. It has everything to do with whether we will listen to Jesus and follow Jesus faithfully, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what troubles we face, whether they be threats, whether they be difficulties. Doctor tells us we got a horrible diagnosis. We have a year, which is horrible. And that's surely going to throw us for a loop. And the question is how are we going to live? Are we going to be true to the hope we have? whatever other concerns. So easily to start worrying about, you know, getting the bigger house, the better car, better job. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not wrong to have a good house to live in, a good car to drive, a good job. But there's always a better house to have, a bigger job to have. And when you get to where you can't find any better house, there's always a second house and a third house to have. Like I said, I'm off the rails here, but I read a story one time about a guy who won the lottery, and the first thing he went out and did was buy a Harley Davidson for every day of the week. Are you kidding me? You want a good recipe for throwing away $100 million? There you go. When you should be set for life. But those concerns of the world like that will keep us from following Jesus. And you know the scary thing about it is left to ourselves, we can find a way using our reasoning to justify just about anything. Jesus says, the good seed, or the good soil, upon whom the seed, the word of God, is heard, the ones who retain it and persevere will produce a crop. And by the way, Jesus never said that we'll see that crop produced in our lifetime. Jesus, at the cross, had all of his followers abandon him, except maybe for a few women. Those first, the early Christians lived for a vision that they would never see fulfilled in their lifetime. You could go back into the story later. Israel, coming out of Egypt, were called to live for a vision that those first people coming out of Israel never saw fulfilled in their lifetime. Moses never saw it fulfilled in his lifetime. We have to have the ability to live for a vision that's just beyond us. By persevering, produce a crop that yields a hundredfold. May the grace of God and the love, may the love of God and the grace of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon us all. Let's stand. Let's sing.